What is up, guys? This is episode 369. This is a legit Turkey Camp, Turkey Palooza podcast episode, so we're not on mics, and we're not in the studio, so we are in camp. I'm at, actually, probably the next pile of podcasts will be in camp podcast, legit in camp podcast, so audio quality is not studio quality, but it's authentic, so if that bothers you that much, sorry about you. Maybe listen to a non-hunting podcast or something. I don't know. I don't know what you do. I'm not here to judge. But this is a hunting podcast, so we're going to record podcasts in camp. So deal with it. I'm kidding. Thank you for being here. The podcast is presented by HHA Sports. Is everybody in here shooting a Tetra?
Yep.
Ross Bigger, Austin Chandler, and Wayne Cox is in studio doing the intro. And we're all there for this camp. Are you shooting a HHA, Wayne?
No, I wasn't this time.
Well, you will be.
I will be for next year.
That's the right answer, because you don't want Scott Bakken coming down on you like he did Ross.
Jeez, man. That got heated.
It's tough out here.
That was a close call.
We're a cult. I don't know if you've caught on to this or not, but join us. The podcast also brought to you by Scent Crusher, Thermoseed. Those got some use during Turkey Camp, the Thermoseeds did. And we got some working-class Thermoseeds in studio to keep our butts nice and comfy, so that's pretty awesome. Gator Outdoors. Super stoked about that. We have a deal with Gator Outdoors and True Timber Camo. We're all pimped out in our True Timber this past weekend, turkey hunt, and we're going to be decked out in it for bear camp coming up. Gator Outdoors is awesome. It's a lifestyle company. Our buddy Wade Borman basically started it up, basically a side hustle. He's a working class guy and basically created this awesome lifestyle brand, putting out quality content and all that. They're worth the follow on social medias. Also, Elite Archery. We're all shooting the Rituals, but I shot the Elite Spirit, my wife's bow. That's an older unit.
And hot.
It's pink, nice.
Strings.
Oh, dude. Oh, yeah. The hottest of pink strings. A fun thing I did today at work, I had someone asking me about bows and anything outdoor group, which is, you know, Elite, Scott. There's a whole pile underneath that. We have a code WORKINGCLASS15. And if you're interested in getting into a bow, especially like the Ember, I think is around $500 brand new. You order it through their site and they ship it to a local dealer. You use Working Class 15, I think it's like $430 to get yourself into a brand new Elite if you do the Ember.
Nice.
That's awesome. Great option. So keep that in mind. Working Class 15, if you need a new bow, get on elitearchery.com. Lone Wolf Custom Gear, the camera arm is out. The 1.0 is still rocking, and the DS.5 is going to be rocking here soon. The COVID stuff's kind of holding up manufacturing, but when orders open back up, use code WCB, save yourself some money. Big time, code WCB2020, save yourself 20% on food plot seed, so that is awesome. Big Time's a great company. They are title sponsoring the Working Class Bowhunter shoot, which is June 20th. It is still on, for the record. The Working Class Bowhunter shoot in Ryle, Illinois, June 20th, is still a go. For all info, workingclassbowhunter.com, and we have a shoot tab on there. All the info you need is there. We're hoping everyone that committed to prizes and stuff is going to still be able to get those to us with all the COVID shit. So come on out, have a good time, shoot some bows, and drink a beer with us at the Big Time tent. Old Barn Taxidermy, pretty stoked, was getting pictures sent of my 10-pointer from November, and I didn't realize, I'll have to post a picture of it. He's old Vanilla Face. He's got a lot of white in him.
He looked old.
I like it. I like it a lot. I'm excited, man.
Looking real good.
Be picking him up and Creepy up here in the next week, 2 weeks maybe. We'll see. Dang. Maybe when I get back from my bear hunt. And hopefully I just drop a bear off to pick my whitetails up. That'd be
one
sweet.
One trip, man.
That'd be nice.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I can't wait to see Creepy.
I'm pumped for that, man. I'm really pumped. Well, anyway, let's get into the episode. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
All right, we are at the first night of Turkey Palooza. It is Friday night, so the first day of the old Turkey Palooza, and everybody bailed for the first day. Apparently, when we planned it from last year, they didn't get the memo that we were doing it again. Eric, Doug, Steve, everybody else.
Jeez.
Gee Willikins. But anyway, we're here at Lord Chandler's bar. What do you call this up here? Is there a name for it?
There is not a name.
You just, it's my house.
The man attic.
The upper room.
The upper room.
Well, we got in. So basically, if the audio quality is a little poorer than normal, it's because we just have the recorder literally set on Lord Chandler's bar with all sorts of alcoholic beverages and good times and good friends. So
it's a celebration.
It's a celebration. Holla, 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 holla. So we got in circle introducing Austin Chandler first.
Holla.
Johnny Utah's here.
In the house.
Myself, Kurt, Ross Bigger.
Hey, hey.
You're on the other side of the recording. You might have to talk a little louder. And old Wayne right. Cox, Team Bigger Cox for the turkeys tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm on.
Well, that was sick. All right, well.
One love.
Did Steve leave? Steve's no, just. Oh,
I'm
here he is.
Right now.
Hey, where are you going? Where are you leaping to?
I'm going to go kill some fish.
All right, how come you didn't get a turkey tag?
I just got a turkey tag. We'll kill it next weekend.
Remember, they sell my Casey's.
Yeah, next weekend after.
Somebody messaged me and they were like, hey, dude, you can confirm my Casey's used to sell hunting licenses. But, you know.
He's not totally full of
shit. Oh, yeah, Cameron Tank just joined us.
I've heard about mine.
Oh, hey there.
He's back. So this is a true turkey camp podcast. There's some turkey killers here at this table. I feel like mine's by accident a little bit, but it wasn't. We called it, but I feel like it was on accident. I don't consider myself a turkey killer. But more importantly, first things first, Mr. Johnny Utah.
Yes, sir.
Completing a slam in
42 calendar days, 13 nice. Hunting days.
No, 13 days of hunt, like yeah. Legitimate hunting.
Yep.
Archery slam.
Yeah, archery slam. That's important. Yeah, four states, and I didn't get to.
We talked about this on an earlier episode of our.
Yeah,
podcast.
We kind of touched on it. Yeah, a little bit. But that was before everything shut down. So
yeah,
during a corona year, it's funny because my wife, she even, after Florida, she's like, cool, you're off to a good start. I'm like, yeah, got the first one down. And then, of course, there's no seasons open, for a while. Yeah. And I was just kind of waiting for Iowa to open up. But
so when did Florida season open?
March 21st on my birthday.
No kidding.
And then I killed the bird on the 23rd.
No shit. Explain that subspecies of bird in Florida because a lot of people don't know their subspecies of turkeys.
So Florida Osceolas, the only place that you can kill an Osceola is peninsula, inland, Florida. And there's only certain parts of Florida. When I think of Florida, I just think like sand and alligators and that's it.
And cops.
And with much respect... me being a Kentucky boy, I got to preface that. There's a lot of hillbillies in Florida. They're awesome. Good people. Salt of the earth people. But they chase hogs and turkeys. And there's a ton of Osceolas there in those
parks.
There's
a lot of birds there?
Yeah. A fair amount of birds. Well, I say there's a lot of birds. It's like I said, because they're in those contained pockets.
Okay, can I throw a circumstance at you?
Yeah.
Do you find that those areas are crowded for people wanting to get slams because that's the only area those birds are?
100%. That's why, a lot of people say that's the hardest bird to kill just because all of the ground, everybody knows that the only place you can get them. So a lot of the private landowners are hip to the game and they partner with outfitters and they lease out their farms and lease out their ground and stuff like that.
No shit.
A lot of them will say, yeah, you can come kill a bird. It's $500 a bird or $1,000 a bird. You take off my property.
Oh, yep. Really?
So I got lucky. I was down there with Whitetail Heaven Outfitters on a photo shoot, and I made a deal with him. I said, hey, as long as I answer my phone, can I sneak away?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, yeah, bomb me and sneak away. I had a list of all of his properties that he had access to. And he's like, obviously – I'm not sending a guide with you or any of that stuff. And I'm like, no, I'll figure it out. It on my own. I'll figure it out. Yeah. So shot a bird and then,
how many days were you there?
I was there 6 days doing photos, but I shot the bird, my third day there, second day hunting.
Okay. And while doing this slam, trying to complete the slam in a year, you're filming for your show.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm filming
another
for your wild. Yeah. Yeah. So that made it tough and you want to get the best footage. And then plus, with Tevis and those guys from Whitetail Heaven, I wanted to get the best footage I could for them. Let me, sneak off and shoot a bird. But, they start shutting down flights and that's when they shut down Florida and they sent everybody home. So outfitters down there were fucked, so it took me two or three canceled flights to even get home and I make it back home and I'm like, well, That was a short-lived goal to try to get the slam in one season. You know,
what looks different about a Florida turkey from like an Eastern? Or is there like a big difference?
Physically, color-wise, mm-hmm. there's not much of a difference. Mm-hmm. Size-wise, there is a big difference. I mean, a giant Osceola is like 19 pounds.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, your standard Osceola farm bird is going to be like 15, 16 pounds. That's pretty normal.
Yeah, probably 5 pounds under us.
That's interesting, yeah. What would you say, Austin, is a big
20-pound birds for an Eastern's an average bird, I'd say. 20 to 22 pounds.
What would be like a Booner Eastern? 20, well,
like 20, I said, I bow hunted for 20 years, or hunted them for 20 years, and I killed a 27 this year. It's been my heaviest bird.
27.2, if you want.
27.2. That's a big Eastern for me. I've heard of guys killing 30s and bigger, but
I've got a 29.15.
That's a freaking monster.
Wow. You know, but yeah, I mean, those are, you know, I would say, I mean, those are few and far between. Yeah. I mounted that one, and I had no desire to mount one up until then. And you know,
That's the one you have on a pedestal.
Yeah,
right?
They're like, dude, you got to mount that bird. You know, it's just a thunder.
Are Southern Easterns smaller birds, or are they bigger birds because they have no harsh winter? You know what I mean?
Correct. Well, you get longer beards because they're not as apt to break off in frost or, you know, frozen ponds and brittle and stuff like that.
So probably longer beards, but lighter birds.
Yeah, I mean, I've got one of my birds from Kentucky was a 21-pound bird, but he had a 13-and-a-quarter-inch beard.
No kidding.
Yeah. So you just typically don't see that when you start getting above those frost lines.
That makes a lot of sense. Yep. I never really thought about that till now. I'm literally just thinking these questions up on the fly, but I'm like genuinely, I want to know.
So I come home and there's nothing open. You know, there's no seasons open, so I'm kind of on standby, which, you know, I think had there been seasons open, I could have finished this off. But the original plan was to go to Nebraska and kill a Merriam-looking bird and a Rio-looking bird.
Because they're there.
Yeah, they're there. If you talk to the purists, they'll say that those are all hybrid mutt birds.
Yeah,
they're not real, you know. But so anyways, with Nebraska closing their doors to non-residents, and I had not previously bought a tag, I never buy over-the-counter tags ahead of time until I cross the state line. Then I just, you know, you never know if you're going to get to go or not.
It's legit over-the-counter.
Yeah, yep. So, you know, I was in a little bit of a predicament, but a good friend of mine, Ward Hegler, down in Texas, he's like, my father-in-law's got a big cattle farm. I'm not a big turkey hunter, but you're more than welcome to try. I'm like, screw it, you know, let's give it a shot. But I was getting my teeth kicked in Iowa, man. Birds hanging up at 50, 60, 70 yards
That's where it would give you problems.
Every day. Yeah, I'm like, what is going on? I mean, every day I was posting on Instagram stories. I'm taking beautiful National Geographic photos of birds that I can't kill, you know?
Yeah.
So finally,
Is that a common theme?
It's getting more and more common.
You said the same thing, Ross, with these birds.
Like, yeah.
You had your theories, but we can get to that. I thought one was pretty interesting of why.
Yeah, it's becoming a thing. I mean, you know, good friends of mine, you know, Hun Zucker and Sean Lutchell from Heartland Bowhunter, we were on the phone talking about it, and it's just like they were having the same thing happen.
Is it from being called at, or is it from like predators, like rising bobcats?
Rising bobcats, less birds. And think of how many more decoys are out there now than what there was 6-7 years ago.
Right.
But even the birds that haven't been decoyed or called at, still, like, I feel I'm hunting birds that haven't been called at since last year.
Sure, right,
so
right.
So maybe last year I over-called them or decoyed them or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're getting smarter, but I think a lot of it has to do with fewer numbers. And, you know, I've yet to see a Jake in Iowa this year.
No kidding.
But really? Not seen one. And I mean, I was doing that testing now.
How about your hen calling? Do you hear a lot of hens walking through the woods clucking?
Not like I've heard in the past.
That's what I'm saying.
That's the point that he brought up earlier.
My theory is the bobcats have got them just tight-lipped.
Yes.
I mean, if they're going to sit there and walk through the woods and announce themselves, they're worried about bobcats, obviously, because they're all tight-lipped. I haven't heard one.
That's an interesting theory.
Yep. I haven't heard one outside of getting out of the roost.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at, you know, the Iowa DNR, the lower two rows of counties increase the fur harvester's tag to 3. You can take 3 bobcats instead of 1 a year now. that obviously means that there is more bobcats than normal, and they probably should have done it 4 years ago.
Yep.
That's interesting.
It's always reactive. Mm-hmm. Right?
And it's like when you call in a deer tag, how many wild boars did you see? How many turkeys did you see?
Yeah,
how
yeah.
many bobcats did you see?
Yeah.
Well, I always put like 10 bobcats because right. give or take.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you
right.
see them, you get trail cam pictures. I've got yep. trail cam pictures of a mom and three little kittens.
Yep.
In one picture, like
yep.
this is mm-hmm. getting bad.
It There's is. A lot of cats out there. Like people yep. don't realize this, but like back in 06, I worked over at the Iowa DNR, and like Wayne, Lucas, and one other county, like a 3-county radius, they had mm-hmm. 30 or 40 cats tagged. The Iowa DNR did. I worked with the technicians that had them tagged, but there were triple that many that didn't have tags.
Sure,
that's in a 3-county radius.
No shit.
You know, I mean, you're talking over 100 cats in 3 counties
yep.
that they knew of. You know,
yeah. I had hunted a long, long time. I mean, I've been hunting 18 years roughly. And I've never had a picture of a bobcat in my areas I hunted. I've never seen a bobcat. But spending time on some of your farms channel was the first time I ever saw a bobcat.
Yeah, we got some
and
cats.
I was mind blown by it.
Yep.
Like I was like, holy shit, that's a bobcat. But
yeah.
it's not uncommon. Like Cameron, you've seen your fair share of bobcats on your dad's farm.
Yeah, that's just outside of the city, outside of Milan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which was kinda in some of the wheelhouses that I've grew up hunting, mm-hmm. you know, and I've
yep.
never seen one. But it's kind of like, shit, they're there. Like, some properties hold them. Like, that's a normal thing for Ross and Austin to see bobcats.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And I called a DNR.
Sorry to interrupt your story, John.
No, you're good. No. You got a bobcat break.
I called a DNR officer beginning of whitetail season 2019 and was just talking to him, asking him. I'm like, hey, there's a bunch of bobcats
yeah.
running around. Are you guys, the DNR, turning bobcats loose? Because I've ran trail cameras for like 15 years, and up until the last 5,
yeah.
never got a bobcat picture, and now it's just blowing up.
Yeah.
He goes, no, we don't turn them loose. He said, the biologists would do that, and they're not jacking around with that.
Right.
He
right.
said, I think they got in there, and they're just populating
yeah.
like crazy, just like cats do.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
a good point.
Yeah, they breed fast. And,
yeah.
So
now we got to get ahead of it.
So that could be a possibility why you're having trouble in Iowa transitioning
yeah. oh,
back.
It was crazy. It was crazy. I've never, ever, I mean, every season you have a couple of sits. You're like, ah, damn, gobbler hung up on me, you know, whatever.
Right.
But not 8 days in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, I hunted morning, go home, take a little nap, do a little computer work, go back out in the afternoon. I love hunting afternoons.
Oh, yeah.
But I did the math on it. It was 8 straight days. That was 16 sits. 14 of the 16, I had birds hang up at 60 to 100 yards. And I'm just, you know, I mean, I'm beside myself. I'm
yeah.
losing my mind, you know. I was doing everything. I was no decoys, changing up my decoys. Strutter, not strutter, just a Jake. I even went as crazy as if they're going to hang up at 60, 70 yards, I'm going to put my decoys 100 yards away.
Yep.
And maybe I'll get them in between me and
right.
the blind. You know, I mean, I was trying everything, and it just nothing was working. And so when my buddy Ward, he owns that company, Musket Powder. I post
mm-hmm.
stuff about it all the time. But he invited me to go down there, and he's like I said, man, not a big turkey hunter, but we'll give it our shot, you know, best shot. And we walked in dark, and I thought, man, a cattle pasture is as good as any cattle pasture. A bunch of hardwoods around here. You know,
yeah.
we'll give her hell. I stake the first decoy. I look up. Literally, we're underneath the birds.
No,
I'm like, oh, and anybody who's a big turkey hunter, it's slim pickings off the roost. If
yep.
they don't pitch down in your kill zone,
yeah,
it's probably
yeah.
not going to happen right away.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, ah, you've got to be shitting me. He's like, man, I am so sorry. I'm like, it's not your fault, you know? I'm like, we'll give her hell. And I'm literally watching the ISO on my camera, and I'm just going, please don't pitch down. Please don't pitch down. Because it's dark. I can't
You're
see shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Finally, the birds pitch down, and then I start calling. Come in. Done.
No kidding.
I mean, I don't know. I forget exactly what time it was, 6:47 in the morning, and we're drinking beer.
Hell yeah.
And I was like, this is nuts.
Texas done.
Yeah, and I was like, well, now let's go chase hogs.
So,
yep.
question, when you're doing, like, because you talked about this slam
uh-huh.
beforehand
uh-huh.
on a previous episode. Well, okay, you got your Florida bird.
Yep.
You got your Rio now.
Yep.
Are you, like, check mark?
Yeah.
Check mark. Pressure build.
Yeah.
Pressure build.
Yeah, yeah. And again, the whole Corona thing is still in my head, because now I'm thinking, man, Miriam's. I can't go to Nebraska. Where am I going to go?
Right, right.
And I had a couple options. I could have gone to Colorado, Couldn't go to Montana, but Colorado was still open.
Because Montana was shut down.
Yep, yeah, Montana was shut down, so that was another state. And I'm like, man, the only state I got left is Colorado and South Dakota. Those are the only two places I can go. And if I'm going to do South Dakota, it's going to have to be far, far west, you know, in the Black Hills area. Mm-hmm. And mutual buddy Wade Borman from Gator Outdoors, he said, hey, we're going to be heading out to the Black Hills. If you want to go, we might be able to offer you up a couch to crash on or something like that.
Right.
And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'll take it. Well, South Dakota is a mail tag. You have to get it mailed to you. And I'm thinking, damn it. And I looked at my calendar, and instead of going the following week, they moved it up a week. And I'm like, damn you, Wade.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I called, and because they were technically shut down, they had a temporary service filled in their calls. So I'm like, hey, how's it going? I need to get a spring turkey tag. Yeah. She's like, spring turkey tag.
Oh,
what are you going to do with that? And I'm like, I'm going to hopefully put it on the leg of a bird. You know what I mean? I'm going to send an arrow through one.
Yeah.
Zero clue as to what I'm hoping to do.
Whoa.
4 hours. I had a drive from Texas back to Iowa. And fortunately, it ate up about 4 hours of my time online, getting the tag, calling them. Long story short, secure the tag. Call them, get them to fax a copy to a Shields in Rapid City, South Dakota, because I lost my tag.
No kidding.
So I had to pay extra money. It's either pay extra money for a lost tag or pay money for expedited shipping.
Right.
Yeah. Or don't have one.
Yeah, or don't have one. So anyways, that's what I did. And so I called Wade.
They never stopped at some other people, you know?
Yeah.
Just shoot without a tag.
Exactly. Right. Some people don't need them.
By the way, we're donating money to stop poaching.
Yes. So what I ended up driving all the way out there, went to the local Shields in Rapid City, picked up my tag, and then went and met up with Wade and those guys. And then, you know, there's a lot of people that kind of came into play here. Like, you can pin the wheel on the donkey kind of thing, go into something like, you know, blindfolded. But you had actually, Wade and you had introduced me to some friends of yours, guys at Buckstorm.
Yeah, the Buckstorm crew.
Yeah, super nice guys. And they were like, hey, we can drop a pin. This is where we saw birds like a week and a half ago. And I'm like, I'll take that intel.
Yeah.
To me, that's as fresh as it's going
to
get.
I talked to Jeremy. I'm like, hey, man, I got some buddies out there. It'd be great to see them get in an area and, you know, let them figure it out. I don't give a fuck about turkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
Antlers and horns is different.
Right.
Here, you know, I think I hooked you guys up and everybody talked, which is cool. But great, great dudes.
Super awesome guys. They dropped that pin and... And Wade and I actually went out and hunted that area the first morning, and birds were hammering everywhere. We just couldn't get any birds to break away from hens. And, you know, I kept telling Wade, I'm like, for every time I heard a gobble, I heard a hen answer. And then more hens were going to them. And I'm like, this is not going to happen. So that afternoon, he decided he wanted to go try a new spot. And I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna stick in here. I'm just going to move a little bit. And, man, it worked out. Midway through the day, I hear some gobbles answer me. And
like what time, if you had to guess?
3:30.
About late.
Yeah, 3:30 in the afternoon. I let out one cadence of some yelps, and I had a gobbler answer me. I set the call down and said, screw it, we're just going to wait. We'll whitetail hunt them from here on out. And I see one redhead, two redhead, three redhead, four redhead. I'm like, you've got to be shitting me. Three little birds are all messing and with my decoys, and it's like some bestiality type stuff going on there.
Sick.
Yeah, it was kind of gross. Mm. But then the bird that I wanted was the stark white one with the big beard, and he's 44 yards. I'm like, that's got to be
your body shooting them.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm like, here we go. So 44 yards, take out a leg, and he hops off and then lays down.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, So then I'm looking at this other bird. He's 5 yards away.
Yeah.
And I'm a hunter. You know what I mean? Of course, I'm looking at it going, man, be a whole lot easier to kill that one, you know? But then I'm thinking to myself, I wounded that bird. I at least have to go try to recover that bird.
Right.
So me being stealthy and like a ninja like I am.
Of course, yes. Of
course. I have to put a 64-yard stalk over deadfall to try to get up to this bird. But he is facing away from me. And I'm like all ninja-like. And I'm closing the distance, and I'm getting ready to draw back at 10 yards and put another arrow in him. And I was like, he's dead. So I go to walk up to him. As soon as I break that 5-yard mark, he comes unglued, and him on his pogo stick and using his wings, we're like step for step. I'm not gaining and he's not pulling away. And we're going up a rock face, down through the pines. And I'm like, I'm holding my bow. And I start thinking, like, do I chuck my bow or do I grab a rock or, you know, what do I do?
This turned into a hot by shooting.
Yeah, yeah. So finally he gets down in the pine trees, and I never thought that going to those total archery challenges would ever come into play in a real life situation. But I swear to you, I had like a 4 or 5 inch gap between the pines, and I'm like, I got one chance at this. I'm like, please.
Fucking bird.
Yeah, put another arrow in him, and then that was it. And ran up to the bird and sat down and, like, legitimately thought I was going to have a heart attack. You know what I mean? Like, I was exhausted and, you know, the adrenaline dump. But
that's awesome.
So that technically completed a lifetime, you know, archery slam. Because last year my last Eastern was on May 2nd in Kentucky. So I'm like, you know what? I did the slam in 1 year, you know. Load up the next day, head back to Iowa. And I was talking to another mutual friend, Billy C, and he goes, man, I hate you driving all night. I know you're exhausted. You've been on the road for 2-3 weeks
Billy
or whatever.
Billy's a good dude, man.
Yeah. And yeah, he is. And he says, well, at least come crash on my couch, you know. And I said, you know what? I'll do that. And then he goes, you know, you do have your bow and you do have your equipment. Like, do you have any arrows left? I'm like, I got one arrow left.
Yeah.
And he goes, that's all you need. He's like, you know, we could get up in the morning and go hunt, you know, one of my farms. And I was like, let's rally, let's do it, you know? So we slept for about 3 hours, got up in the morning, and yeah, the bird I ended up shooting, he came in 3 times, hung up. Finally, the third time, he worked up the balls to come on in, and yeah, I was able to shoot him. So that ended up completing it. And
that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it was awesome. I hate turkeys. I don't think I'll ever hunt them again.
I was going to ask you. if this was something you try and do again, or if right now you're cool.
I'm thinking bearded hens next year.
There you
really?
Go.
You know.
I'm like, damn, that's a thing, huh?
Yeah, that's
how common are bearded hens?
That's cocky. You don't see many bearded hens.
I've never
seen one.
I've only seen two.
Anybody that can
life.
Do the bearded hen slam in a year, that's.
I killed a Rio in Kansas, and they're like, do a slam, but you can do like a slam with all toms, and you got to go back and do a slam that's all Jakes.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Like, do a slam with each like subcategory.
Well, I remember back in like 2013, I took a shot, and I missed the bird, you know, by a mile, but I took a shot at a bearded hen in Kentucky, and I was like, man, that would have been cool to kill a bearded hen. And then immediately right after it, I was like, I am so glad I missed that bird. Yeah. Like, I would feel like a piece of shit. You know, they're carrying eggs. You know what I mean? I was like,
yeah, that's the deal.
I was like, yeah. Why was I so stupid? I guess I just thought it was cool.
Why do some hens grow up? Does anybody know? Like, why does that happen?
I mean, we've all been to Walmart and see bearded women, you know?
Exactly. That's a very good point.
I think that's all it is.
Just keep that in mind when you're shooting a bearded hen. That's the equivalent of what you would picture in a human species. That's what you're trying to, that's what you're hunting.
That helps me to shoot it.
Yeah.
Being said, I do want one. I want to mount one bearded hen.
Well, and if there's any listeners, you know, gals that have a little bit of peach fuzz, you know, we're not ragging
thing,
on
you. Know? Do you know, yeah. Take care of that, you know, like maybe get rid of
Trim
that.
Yeah. I mean, but if you've got like a Ross Bigger Beard, you know, that's
issue.
A little much.
That you get a tennis on a gal.
If your beard could have its own Instagram account, you might need to reconsider.
Hey, have we ever figured out who runs that account?
Nope.
Yeah. That's an actual account, and we have not figured out who runs it.
What?
Ross Bigger's Beard is an Instagram account.
Oh, really?
Figure out who it is.
Huh.
No clue.
Wow.
But
I promise it's not me.
Yep. Okay. All
right. It's got to be Bill.
Sure. It's got to be,
It's not me, but it should be.
Is that account? Is that account getting any like beard love, like beard oil love? Or?
It's not very active, I don't think.
Nah, it's slowed down quite a bit. It was hot like 2 years.
I tag it every now and then.
Yeah,
damn. I think I should just promote the fuck out of it on the podcast page and get a bunch of traction.
Yeah, it'll fire back up again.
We should.
Jeez.
But it no, I mean, like, you know, it was something fun to do. Obviously, I have said it before. Like I. Whitetails and antelope, bear, elk, you know, all those animals are way higher on my list, but you can't hunt those now. And turkeys are a ton of fun, but it seemed like something, just like a fun goal, something to try to shoot for.
It's a wholesome goal. I think that's a good goal, man.
Yeah.
Just travel, new experiences in the wild. I think it's rad. I want to do a slam as well, but I just don't think I don't care as much about completing it in a year because, one, I think it's rad that you did that, like, mad respect. But I just, to me, I'm not that to that point with birds. But I want to do a slam for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I have a Rio and an Eastern. And it's like, well, that's two.
Yeah.
You know,
well, and you've got some of the two, like, to me, like, some of the coolest ones coming up.
I mean, I want to marry them for sure.
I mean, mountain birds, those are super awesome.
I'm not interested in going to Florida right now.
No.
Like, it'll be years before I do that.
Yeah. But whenever you do, I've got a spot for you.
I think it would be fun to go with a couple buddies, you know, and do it. Like, that would be, I think I would have more fun with that, like, for turkey hunting and stuff, you know. But.
Well, and it's so, like, to me, the one thing that's kind of nice is, like, you get a break from the cold and, like, the snow here in Iowa and Illinois.
Yeah,
And you go out there and it's, like, 94 degrees and you're in shorts and you're like, this is badass. I mean, I came home with a hell of a tan.
Yeah. Hunting birds in a tank top. So, we talked about this before the podcast about, like, well, what do you do if you do a slam, you have to mount them, right? Like, I have a full Mount Rio, a full Mount Eastern.
Yep.
Well, if I kill a Merriam, I can't, like, not mount it
some way. Yeah, yeah.
You had one of the best ideas I've heard for something like that. For a whitetail guy with a turkey slam, I guess.
Sure, sure. You know? Well, like, two of the birds, the Merriam and the Eastern, I called Sam Gaylord from Old Barn. He was the first phone call that I made. And, you know, we'd been talking about it, about what I wanted to do with these birds, and I like doing some things that are a little bit different, but I was in their shop one day and I saw their dead hanging ducks, which I noticed you've got a mount down there at the bottom of the steps, and I just thought it was so cool, and I made a comment how awesome it was. Well, then they did a dead hanging coyote, you know, by a back leg, and I thought that was super badass, so then it kind of got me thinking. I thought, well, if I pull this off, I don't want to do four pedestal mounts, full strut birds.
It's a lot of space, man.
Yeah, it takes up a lot of real estate. So, and the wife has already told me the house is like the house of death, and she's kind of getting sick of it. Yeah, so I came up with the idea that I was going to do all four birds together, which I think is cool because it's all in the same year. They were all shot together, basically. But I'm going to do four birds like in a dead hanging. So you'll get half wing and half fan.
Right, right. Kind of thing. I like that a lot.
And you'll be able to see the variations between the birds.
Are you getting that old barn full mount special? The $300 off normal retail price on that?
Does yes, that there? Yes, yes.
Yeah. Tank's taking advantage of that. Tank kind of shot a bird. We haven't talked about that either.
No,
you
I don't
killed
think
a rainy
so.
Day bird.
Yeah, a rainy day bird, actually, the same day Tyler did.
Yeah,
Tyler's
shot his first bird.
Yeah, double beard, big old spurs.
I forgot it was a double beard.
I didn't even know they did a score. I looked up the score. It was like 72 or 73.
Uh-huh.
And like a big bird is like 65. I'm like, Jesus.
Yeah, damn.
All right.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
That was a good day.
Yeah.
So you, Tyler, and Austin killed his third.
Yeah.
Would that be called a kill day?
That was a kill day.
Yeah.
I wonder what the barometric pressure was that day.
Dude, it was a rainy, drizzly day. Yeah. What affects
overcast?
Is the rain?
It was rain.
Check your trail cam patterns. Yeah, but what, like, why was that such a good day? Coincidence, or is rain do something to
it? I personally think it's coincidence because I've been on days where it's, like, warm outside, and you're like, man, if I was a bird, I'd be real vocal. And then you'll go out on days where it's, like, it was 70 the day before, and then the next morning it's 32. You're freezing your ass off. And those birds are just up there ripping.
They're hammering.
I'm like,
I have my best luck in like first and second season. And it's like 30s in the morning, even snow on in some cases. I always have the best luck in the early season. I don't know what it is.
They're so dumb, they're hard to hunt.
We've already talked about this on a podcast before, talking about like barometric pressure and birds and shit.
Yeah.
Remember when we brought up Drury's, how they were talking about a northeast wind affecting the way the birds gobble?
Yes.
Isn't it? Like, he found a correlation with it.
It was,
he had an old-timer that he looked to for advice.
What was the saying?
Wind out of the northeast, birds gobble the least.
Wind out of the east, birds gobble the least.
Gobble the least,
yeah.
Huh.
I've
never paid attention to that.
I
want to
call him right now.
They're tough.
Yep.
East winds.
It's weird because we never picked up on that correlation, but when somebody like, you know, Mark Drury says it, you kind of like,
I'm texting Mark, and he probably
might be something
back
to that.
Yeah. You know, I thought about it the other day, talking to buddies about morning birds and afternoon birds. I know that with a bow, I've killed more than 2 dozen birds, but not quite 3 dozen, and only one of them has been in the morning.
Is that right?
Every bird I've ever killed has been 10 a.m. or 2 p.m. or literally right before roost. You know, like I cut them off at the roost tree.
And, so my theory is, if Illinois would just come off of this 1 o'clock cutoff.
Oh, yeah.
That's not all day.
How long has it been that
There's so many killable birds.
I would say 70% of my birds are after 1 p.m.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. I think this bird I killed with Ross this year at 11 was the latest bird I've ever killed. Like 95% of my birds are before 9 o'clock.
And I'm confident that's the same bird that I'd called and done the same thing to you.
Yeah.
Johnny was up at 60 and just stand there and not commit.
I wish we could hunt
him. Finally, he got brave enough and he came in. Yeah. And then once he got in there, he was that's a decoy.
And I think what a lot of guys do is when a bird hangs up, then they get real aggressive with their calling. If they would just chill, let that bird settle down a little bit. Just give him a few calls. He knows that the hen's still there.
Right.
They'll work up the courage most of the time.
Yep.
Worst case scenario, the nail in the coffin is if a hen...
Exactly.
You overcall, and then a hen's like, oh, shit, I'm going to have to go over there and steal my man back.
And she
comes in, and then, the gig's up.
That's exactly what happened to me ahead of Austin killing his third bird.
Mm-hmm. You know, I just texted... By the way, it's 10:18 p.m., and I just texted Mark Drury and said... I'm recording a turkey camp podcast right now. I had a question if you're available, which I didn't expect him to text back. He said, are you texting on behalf of Steve's podcast? And I said, if I say yes, will that help? And he said, F no. I said, well, then it's for mine.
Just call him. He'll answer. Hilarious.
All right, we'll see.
But yeah, those birds hanging up, man, that's difficult. Oh. That corned out. That was same day Tyler killed, same day Tank killed.
Yep.
Yeah. We got skunked at the same place Kurt deheaded his bird this morning.
All right, he said sure call, so I'm gonna call him real quick. Hey, question. So we're talking about birds and like gobbling and all that. What was that saying? Like wind out of the east, birds gobble the least.
Yeah, for sure. Yep.
What? Where did that come from, or why do you think that's like a legit saying?
I don't know why it's legit. I just know that there's a lot to it, particularly a northeast wind. When I grew up turkey hunting back in the early 80s, I hunted every year with my physics teacher and my football coach from Valley High School in St. Genevieve, Missouri. His name was Bill Martin. His dad's name was Willard Martin, and we hunted down in Juett, Missouri. And when we would get up in the morning, Willard would go out and check the wind, and if it was out of the east, he would not go. And I never forgot that. I was, a junior in high school, senior in high school, and Willard would never go whenever that wind was out of the east. And to this day, when the wind's out of the east, and those turkeys aren't gobbling very well, I think of Willard, of course, with fond memories.
No kidding. That's really interesting. We talked about last spring, we did a turkey and bullshit podcast, and we were talking about that. And you did an Instagram video about that, and I played that clip on the podcast, and we were talking about just how interesting that was. And we're not claiming to be turkey experts by any means. So I'm like, well, shit, I'll just text you and see if you want to get on and explain it a little bit. I just thought that was real, real interesting.
Yeah. If you watch east winds, they're often associated with low pressure systems here in the Midwest, and I don't know if that east wind theory would hold true out west or out east, but here in the Midwest, when you've got a wraparound low, what wind direction you get, it's generally an east, and it's often accompanied by low pressure. So my suspicion is it has to do with the barometric pressure, in answer to your original question.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay, cool. Interesting. So you guys are in turkey camp right now.
We're in Nebraska.
Oh, Nebraska.
We are celebrating an incredible trip. We've been out here for 3 days, basically, and we killed 9 birds on film in 48 hours, and the farthest shot we took was 15 yards, and 8 of the 9 were within 10 yards. It was literally incredible.
Wow. Murders. That is putting in the work, man. So did Austin or Taylor kill first?
Taylor killed first. She killed live on Facebook. She doubled. and then right after that, Austin doubled, and then the next day I killed. That was the first afternoon. Then I killed two yesterday, and then today we each killed a single.
That's getting after it. So who's the better turkey hunter, you or Austin?
Oh, Austin's a much better turkey hunter than I am.
Really? Are you saying that because he's standing within distance, I'm sure?
Yep. It's because I'm standing right over his shoulder, exactly why he said that.
Hey, I got a question for Austin, if he can hear me. I don't know if I'm on speaker or not.
Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey, Austin, how come when Eric came up to you at ATA and said, hey, if you see that dude Steve, punch him in the face and I'll pay you money, how come you didn't punch Steve?
I don't know. I'm really not sure. I didn't know him, and I didn't know Eric at the time. Knowing them now, I probably would have been $100 richer.
All right, that's very fair. I had to just put you on the spot real quick because if you know anything about Steve, you really want to hit that dude in the mouth for no reason.
There you go.
Well, sorry to stir up your guys' hunting camp. I just had to shoot the random text to see if we could get you guys on real fast.
Oh, yeah, it was no bother at all. We appreciate talking to you guys.
Well, you guys got more birds to kill, or are y'all done just partying now?
No, we're done. Limit is three apiece, so we're done. We're just having a few drinks, and they're heading west to Utah tomorrow, and I'm heading east back to Iowa.
Very cool, man. Well, we got two tags in camp now, and we're going to try and cap out tomorrow and hit the Crown Royal and all the other good stuff and have a good time. So,
right on. We're just sitting around playing song game. Our current category is best songs from the 1970s.
Oh. Well, hell yeah. All right. Well, we'll let you guys get after. I appreciate your time, man. Sorry to bug you so late. It means a lot that you just jumped on real quick.
Anytime, brother. We're always ready.
You want to talk about the best people in the industry right there? Man. All right,
That makes a lot of sense. Like I said, it's not so much the wind. It's the barometric pressure side of things.
It does make a lot of sense now. But, you know, it's an interesting thing. It gets you scratching your head. Like, well, why is that? It makes you want to text Mark Drury at almost 11 at night, you know?
Yeah. And if they had antlers, I would probably study it more.
We would all know it.
Yeah.
We would all know it.
Yeah.
That's why it's interesting to us. I kind of picked up on it when he talked about it because we're bird hunters. Like, we don't pay enough attention to pick up those patterns, whereas his predecessors did. And then he picked that up, and then he kind of relayed that to us. So it's just kind of a cool little thing that I remembered.
Yeah, for sure.
Pretty cool.
Well, fuck, man. First day of Turkeypalooza. Yeah. We had some success.
Yeah.
I almost want to save my story for tomorrow's podcast, just because we got another day of Turkeypalooza. Yeah. Then where everyone's, are you coming back tomorrow, Johnny?
I probably will, yeah.
Everybody here will be here tomorrow, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to be working on a garden tomorrow, but that shouldn't take, like, all day.
Get those wife duties in, huh?
I know.
Hey.
I'm banking right now. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm stockpiling.
I hear you.
Yeah, because I caught some shit when I came home. She's like, I don't know that I'd like this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, babe, it's going to get so much worse come August.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to bank them in.
Yeah.
All good.
Yeah, got to get it in. Got the garden. She wants me to do some landscaping,
rubber feet.
Hey, whatever it takes, man. You know, whatever it takes.
Be a good husband, you know.
She lets me travel, and she holds down the fort while I'm gone. And yes, I can't complain.
That's awesome. Well, you need a lady like that behind you.
Yes, yes.
Well, boys, first day of Turkeypalooza. We're going to do another podcast. Hopefully, the audio sounded good. Doing it the casual way. Doing it the bar way.
Yeah,
the Lord Chandler bar way.
This is phenomenal. Phenomenal place. Like, I'm super jealous.
It makes me feel bad about your whitetail collection.
Yeah, imagine you're in Gatlinburg in a chalet, but then add like 287 mountable bucks on the walls.
Wait. And there's not one under 160.
Yeah, Austin's like, it's only 284.
Yeah. I'll bless you, my child.
Yeah. Don't embellish.
It's time to go. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. And you know what to do. Go shoot your bow. We love you.